Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, Andy, but there's a Jewish singles event on Christmas Eve.
Matzah ball.
Exactly.
Come on. So, you think I haven't been to any matzah balls?
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. Andy. What day is it?
It's caller day.
It is caller day. We have a lovely caller today. One who's showing her face.
Wow.
We always get very excited about that.
How many of these have we had?
This is the third faced caller.
Wow.
Yes.
Exciting.
It is very exciting. Our caller today is Jamie. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Do you mind giving us your city and or region and your age and also your partner's age and your predicament?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Jamie. Hi, I live in Washington, D.C. right now by way of New York City. I'm 28 years old, getting very scarily close to 30 in my mind. My partner is 26 years old, and his name is Hal.
Let's hear your story.
So please stop me if you've heard this one. A Jew and a Muslim walk into a strip club on Christmas. That's how my boyfriend...
Wait, what is going on?
Andy's waiting for the punchline.
This is a joke. What is this joke?
No, this is my love story.
Oh, so you're the Jew and he's the Muslim? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So earlier that night, it's Christmas Eve. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, Andy, but there's a Jewish singles event on Christmas Eve.
Matzah ball.
Exactly.
Come on. So, you think I haven't been to any matzah balls? Come on.
So I was at the matzah ball with my friend who lives in Miami, and she's a lawyer down there and had done a deal for 11, which is like the very high-end strip club in Miami. Like if you're going to go to one, that's the one to go to. They have, it's like a Cirque du Soleil place. That's where like celebrities will get big tables. It's a whole scene. And it's really fun to go out on Christmas Eve in Miami if you're Jewish, because every year I've done this, I've run into people from elementary school and sleepaway camp because we're the only people at the only other people who are really out on that night are people who also don't celebrate Christmas. In that case, my boyfriend, who's actually Kurdish, which is a subsection of Muslim. So we were at our table with a group of girls. Him and his friend were at another table. They had a hookah, and I was kind of getting sick of the group that I was with. So I just hopped over to their table and was like, hey, can I hit your hookah? And we just started talking, hit it off that night, and hung out for the rest of the night. And then two nights after that, we met back up kind of midway. I was in Fort Lauderdale. He was in Miami, and had a really good time and like really had a genuine connection and talked about a lot and decided we wanted to meet up and continue seeing each other. So I was not working at the time, and my career does play into my problem that I'm having a lot right now. So I'm a writer by trade and he's a mechanic service advisor. So I had just finished a writing contract, had no prospects in sight and wasn't sure what to do with myself. So we were talking and just said, why don't we just meet up in Chicago, which is kind of a midpoint for us. He's actually, from Michigan, but had also been visiting Miami coincidentally. So he was in Michigan. I was in DC. We decided to meet up in Chicago,
Interrupt? You're going to go back for a second. When did you guys meet? Was this past December or like a December a year ago?
A year ago. No, this December would have been tough with, you know,
That's what I was thinking that. Okay. So this is
December
right before COVID.
2019.
Yeah. I got into a relationship kind of like in that scene in the Titanic when like the doors are like, and people just kind of like slide through at the bottom. That's what getting into a relationship before COVID felt like.
Nice.
So we met up about a month later. that whole month, we had been FaceTiming every day, every night, just really talking. It was fantastic. And spent 5 days together in Chicago. And we're like, we should just kind of date and see if we can make this work. A couple of weeks later, I visited him in Michigan, met his family briefly. And then for Valentine's Day, now we're in 2020, he came down to see me in DC. We had a really nice like 4 or 5 days. And he was just saying, you know what, I kind of just want to like stay in DC and give this a real shot since we were getting along so well. So he had flown to DC. So he flew back and he called me. He said, hey, it's going to be a few weeks before I can make it back to DC. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm probably never going to see this guy again. Like, I can laugh with my friends about the time I was in a relationship for a month. And it's my first, so it was a big deal. My longest relationship yet. And
your longest relationship is a month?
Or this would have been this. He's actually my first boyfriend. So I had my first relationship at 26, which is also a factor here, just because I'm not like a I've loved before, I'll love again kind of person. It's harder for me to really connect, which makes him very, very special to me.
Okay, we'll unpack that later.
Yeah, that is worthy of noting for sure.
Okay. So he's like, I'm just kidding. I actually quit my job. My car's packed up. I'm on my way to you right now. And I think that there's a good lesson in there, even for future callers, that if a guy really likes you, he will pack up, quit his job, and move across the country to be with you.
I believe we've actually probably said that exact quote before.
Verbatim.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you.
And my mom had been telling me this for years. Like, if you're confused, don't like, that's the indicator right there. Like, don't.
She's right.
They will move mountains for you, do anything. So it was cool that actually happened. So I was living in a small studio apartment, about 350 square feet, which was okay for one person pre-COVID. So then he decided to stay with me. I was wanting him to get his own place so that we didn't break up just on because we were like on top of each other too quickly and was starting to send him apartments. He just wanted to stay with me and like be together every single day, which was cute, but I was really more of the mindset that I want you to get your own place so that we don't break this by running too fast here. This is already a lot going on. So the beginning of March, we started to look, I was starting to look for apartments for him, and then COVID hit. So within the span of like 2 months, there was a pandemic and I was living with a near stranger in a tiny studio apartment in DC and had then also started a new job on February 24th, which was the day that the market crashed. So like by March, just like my entire life had changed. I had a new job, new boyfriend, new pandemic. Who is this? So a lot happened really quickly there, but we actually got along really well. We had a lot of fun. We learned how to cook together, went for walks together, had a great time. This past June, we got a bigger apartment together in DC, like a proper adult one bedroom, and have been living together. And our lease is coming up in June. And there is kind of a deadline predicament here for me to basically make a decision if I want to stay in the relationship or leave the relationship. Also, I had left the job that I had in DC. I just had taken it because I needed to work, but had since then found a job in New York. I've been wanting to move back for a while. It's just my family lives in New York, is from there. I have closer friends there. And DC, I ended up down here 2 years ago because of a job promotion. And then the new office ended up being a disaster. So I got this job in February that I've been at for about 3 months now. It's really been a lot of whiplash that I really like and is a big step for my career. They're in New York and want to be in person probably this summer or as soon as possible. They're is something to be said for the fact that I took a job knowing that it was in New York and they might have to be in person this February. At that time, I was thinking that I wasn't super into the relationship as much. In the last few months, things have been really good though. So I'm in a bit of a predicament where I either need to leave my relationship or quit my job. And I really don't want to quit my job and I have mixed feelings about the relationship.
Okay. Okay. Oh, just T.O. When you so you said things were sort of going downhill, but then they've been better. Can you outline that a little more specifically? Like, why did it go downhill?
There are some differences that we have. It started going downhill in my mind during Thanksgiving when we went and spent it with his family. And I really got to know them. And they're kind of the issue here. I love him. I can't imagine marrying into his family. And we've been dating for almost a year and a half. And I don't want to just marry someone, realize it's not working 3 years. I'd rather start over now when I'm 28, as opposed to, you know, 35 with a kid or two as a single mom. I don't want to ruin my life. But I'm scared of letting him go at the same time. So he was actually born in Iraq and moved to the US when he was 11. His family had fled after 9/11. So not a lot of people have Jesus, strippers, and Dick Cheney to thank for their relationship, but I think that's part of what makes our love story special. But his parents don't speak English really at all. And they're not really religious. It's not as much a religious thing, but they don't really speak English. They are financially in a very different position than my family is. But what really started to get to me was we were at his house, and I understand that his parents are immigrants. They have a totally different mentality. My family have been like Jewish Westchester, New York people for like 80 years, and he checks every box there. But in terms of stereotypes, but so Hal, my boyfriend, had just bought a new car before he went up there, and he got a really nice car, upgraded it because he had gotten a new job and needed to replace his car. And his dad went off on him for paying more than $5,000 for a car. He said we should never as a couple spend more than $5,000 for a car. There's no reason. We don't need it. I'm just there thinking, oh my God, my mom has two Lexuses. How is this ever going to work? Like, there's a real socioeconomic strain there that's just very real. And I don't know how much his parents know about my situation or my background, but I kind of felt uncomfortable with that. I was uncomfortable with how the men in his culture were treating the wives. I met some of his family friends. It was very much the men sitting on the couch and like having their wives bring them things. And Hal doesn't treat me like that at all. But one thing that my mom says is that we eventually become our parents. And I'm very scared about him becoming more like his dad and finding that out. You know, if maybe not right now, but 5 or 10 years down the line, we become more like our parents, perhaps. And I'm scared if that happens, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
I think it's too Lexi. That's how I would say that. just sorry to be off topic, but
yeah, that's like saying two octopuses.
I've actually made that joke as well.
Oh, you did? Good. We got the same sense of humor. Westchester Jewish. By the way, it's still 2:35 on that clock. Your clock. You need to fix that clock. It's broken.
About the money thing, it is interesting to me how the father asserted such a strong opinion over what really is none of his business. I don't think. I mean, yeah, you're both adults making your own money, and to sort of make a sweeping statement like you should never spend more than X amount of dollars on a car.
I actually want to backtrack from that. But when you say your relationship went downhill because of these scenarios, why? How?
So I started pulling away, just really second guessing it. And then in some ways he started as a result becoming more controlling. I was at the time at my last company, he had done this a little bit before, but it really picked up. When I would go to work, he would like read my Slack messages on my home computer, like take my phone and like go through my Instagram, like messages with people. And like to this day, like has problems if I like have guy friends who I talk to. And before him, I've always been kind of a guy's girl, and like my sense of humor meshes more with guys, but, and was the case in my office. But he just like, he's like, you can't flirt with male coworkers. I'm like, we're just kind of bantering back and forth.
Wait, hold on a second. So I'm a little confused. So you're saying that it went downhill because you saw this dynamic with his family that you were fearful of for your future. But now you're saying that there's actually real tangible evidence that he kind of is that way in the sense that he's really
a little controlling
about your communication with other men.
A little.
Okay. So is that the only?
Which is the chicken and which is the egg?
Yeah, that's what I'm having an issue with. This is because you had this seed planted in your head from your experience with his family, but were these things going on before that, or did
they begin happening when you started pulling away after having spent time with his family?
Right, exactly.
It was going on a little bit beforehand. Okay. But I think he just got
so
more passionate.
So the family experience solidified your inkling from his behavior regarding your communication with other men.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also, and just a bit about my family backgrounds to set a bit of a comparison, because something that's really important to me is having a family that I bring together with my future spouse. I don't want it to be you only hanging out with your mom's side or your dad's side separately. And it's tense to put everyone in a room. Like, I grew up where my parents had a lovely, healthy relationship. My grandmothers became best friends. And I just liked that cohesive family unit. It wasn't just mom's side or dad's side. It was just, we're all one big happy family. And I want that. And I don't think I can ever have that with his family for the language barrier alone. So my dad actually passed away when I was 16 from a very rapid sudden cancer. I'm the oldest of three girls. And one of the things that I know that he wanted most for me was to marry someone Jewish, raise a Jewish family. And that I know that if he were alive, he would be disappointed, if not angry, that I'm with someone who is from such a different background than I am in a religious, socioeconomic status. But to put that aside for a second, we're in a good place now. He treats me wonderfully. He buys me flowers all the time. He helps around the house. He's nice to my friends. He offers to drive them home after we've all been hanging out. He's sweet and attentive and will talk to my family on FaceTime and is just a really good person. But I'm scared about the things that he can't control getting in the way of us. It's not like there's some times where it's like, he's not treating me well, or there's behaviors that are what you can work on. He can't change the fact that he grew up with a certain mentality or who his family is. And it's not fair for me to ask him to, but at the same time, I'm scared of moving forward in our relationship with that being the case.
So you haven't had any long-term or even short-term relationship before this guy.
No, not really.
I have to ask you the question, do you feel like you could live without him right now?
Could I technically live?
No. I mean, don't get too scientific about it. Just emotionally, speak from the heart. Can you live without this guy? What if he like peaced out tomorrow? Could you live with it? Could you get on with your life and deal with it?
It would take a really long time.
Is any of that, and I'm sorry to do this, but it's only because you've had so little experience with real relationships that I have to ask these questions, but is any of that a function of you being worried about, like, you've put all this investment in and in your mind you're about to hit this crazy 30 number, which by the way is still very young, but whatever. Is any of that a function of you feeling like your investment is going to waste, or is it really something of the heart, like you would be devastated if he left your life personally?
It's me feeling like if I were to also, so I'd been living in New York to answer your question before. I was living in DC, and in both cities, I just wasn't connecting with people dating wise. And I'm moving back to New York, possibly now I would be moving back single this summer. And, you know, we're in a pandemic. It's harder. I'm older.
Okay. But forget about that. I'm talking about him. Just him. Let's make believe you're in a white void. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else in the world except you and him. And he leaves that void. Are you okay with that? Can you live with that?
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future
for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/greenimpact.
Emotionally,
it's really scary to think about.
Okay.
I feel like I'm lucky that I found someone who actually likes me, because I haven't been able to do that in the past. So
not crazy.
Have you ever said that out loud before?
Not crazy about that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that.
There's no reason. I mean, I've only known you for a few minutes, but I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask what you feel he possesses as a partner that you haven't been able to find in other people, but what you just said took it in a very different direction, which is that he's the only one who has wanted you or loved you. Do you want to rephrase that, or do you stand by that?
I kind of stand by that. I've felt otherwise undesirable or unwantable, and I'm okay looking. So I guess it's my personality, but for whatever reason, no one's wanted to actually date.
Okay. So aside from your terrible personality,
we already like your personality. Yeah, so that's,
I find it very hard
shit.
To believe. This is an issue. I think the issue is here, not with this guy. I don't want to change the subject, but what makes you think, and what experience have you had to make you think that you don't deserve a really great partner and that there isn't someone out there who would really appreciate you?
When I've liked people, been treated really poorly in the past, and it's almost given, like, programmed me to think that, like, I don't deserve to be, like, really liked or loved.
Okay. That's crazy.
I know.
How do you act in a relationship? Is there some way that you change? Like, so you're with your friends out, your girlfriends having drinks, you act one way. How do you act any differently with a guy that you really like? Is there a real change? Is there a shift in how you behave?
I'm much more reserved and a bit quieter. I would say it would be fair to say that I can be somewhat standoffish, especially just with new people in general, and might come off a little, not icy, but just it's been hard for me in the past to, like, break down that wall. And then there is the insecurity of being, oh, when was your last relationship? I've never had one. And that's been just kind of this big red flag over my head. And I do feel like my headline sort of changed in that sense, since I've been living with someone for over a year. But I don't know if I should just, I have a wonderful person who really loves me. And part of me wants to say that I should just count myself lucky for having found that.
Okay. I have a question. Let's say his family is Jewish. They're the same amount of Jewish as you are, because I remember you said in your email that you were only sort of observant or not really observant. What was I forget how you worded that.
So I keep kosher, and I grew up in a family that was Orthodox, but that was mostly led by my dad. So we've kind of fallen off the derech, so to speak.
I know what that means.
I'll laugh along. Okay, so...
So you're a basic Westchester to Lexi Jew. Nothing crazy there.
Okay. Schechter, sleepaway camp, pretty basic.
Got it.
So I guess my question is, if this exact same person, his family is Jewish, you get along with them more or less the same way, but maybe can communicate with them a little better. Do you feel then that there is no problem, or is there still a problem?
There's still problem in that sense.
Could you be specific?
Yes, elaborate.
Sure. So we were given really different opportunities, and I recognized that I was able to go to, I went to Maryland, the college of my choice. My family supported me, and I was lucky to just be like, oh, I want to be a writer and pursue that and not really worry about supporting my family. Whereas he did an automotive program at his community college, which he didn't end up finishing, but is very good at what he does and works really hard. And that's really important. But he didn't finish college. He doesn't really have friends who have college degrees in his network. And I don't really have any friends who don't have a college degree. And I wouldn't, like, necessarily judge someone based like that, but we surround ourselves with different people. And I'm scared that if I want to move back to New York and pursue my career, I would want to, let's say, bring him to networking events and him not feeling comfortable, or me going to them by myself and him freaking out that I'm around men without him there. I see it not working on both sides in that regard. Mm.
Can you picture him doing that, or has he ever done that? Freaked out when you were in a situation with other men and he wasn't there?
We haven't had a lot of that experience because of COVID. Because we started dating right before COVID, our relationship kind of existed within a bunker. And I've said before that if the world were to, like, actually permanently shut down and we had to just go into a bunker with one person for the rest of time, him and I would be good. We would have so much fun. We're really best friends. But when it comes to bringing in real factors about raising a family and the outside world and how we want to grow our careers, that's where I'm worried it'll eventually not work. And I'd rather stop it now than when I'm even further invested. Mm-hmm. But I'm also scared of letting him go because he is so wonderful.
And he's wonderful because he treats you well. And you like the way he sees the world, and what it defines.
Yeah,
I want to know why he's.
Yeah,
wonderful.
I agree. Other than the fact that he treats you well, and you've never felt you've had that, what else about him is so unletgoable?
Mm.
He's very patient and very calm, where I'm kind of like more fiery and impulsive. So I feel like he kind of balances me out. Because I've been through so much, he's also very patient with me emotionally when I get like upset more often than he does, and is just willing to talk things out with me as long as I need. And he's just very warm and welcoming to people. And I like that about him. And he's been like, my friends really like him who have met him before. They think he's always kind of the life of the party wherever we go. And he's just, we have plants in our apartment, for example, and he's so like interested in watering them and nurturing them and like making them grow. And I just love that he is just so caring about like small little things and like getting excited like when new leaves come on plants. And he just has this very like nurturing side to him while also being kind of like a strong automotive guy. And I think that's such a rare balance.
My God, that's so me.
That is very you.
I do get excited about new leaves.
Andy loves a little bud on a flower.
I love it.
Yeah, it's flower to be bud.
Those are good reasons, by the way.
Yeah, they're great reasons.
Those are good.
Do you believe in the one?
Yes, because my parents identified themselves as soulmates. So I was raised by two people who couldn't imagine someone better for them. And I feel like while I've been very lucky to have that, it almost sets like an unrealistic bar for like what I want.
I kind of get the feeling that everything sort of has a caveat. Like there are concerns you have, but then you're also terrified of losing him. And in this case, yes, you do believe in the one. It was what was modeled for you growing up, but you also feel it's an unrealistic bar. I guess my question from there is, if you do believe in the one, without a caveat, regardless of how high that bar is, could you say with 100% confidence that he is that?
Or even 80%, I'll accept.
I'm trying to get rid of all the do you know what I mean? Like the frayed edges. I'm trying to.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
I'm trying to get you to speak in like black and white terms, because I feel like otherwise then you lean into the gray of like, but he does these wonderful things, or but he does this thing, or but his family. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to get it more black and white, basically.
Because of all the ways that we're just technically different between our religious upbringing, the types of families we were brought up in, our socioeconomic backgrounds, our education, it's hard for me to like say 100% that we're just made for each other, because our puzzle pieces don't exactly fit in every way. And I would like to find that, but I'm also scared that I move back and I start dating. It feels like the first 26 years of my life. And then I realized that I like missed out on the one person who I could have my best life with, even if he's not perfect.
There's one thing I feel unresolved about. You're showing us a very good personality.
Agreed.
I've grown a lot from our relationship though.
Okay.
And it's true. I do believe that you can really find yourself and your confidence and your true sense of humor when you have someone who brings that out in you. So no matter what, I know you're fearful of what's to come, but no matter what, I feel like this relationship has done wonders for you in multiple ways. Most importantly, realizing how lovable you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that he loves you is not what makes him special. I just have to say that out loud.
No, I agree. I'm sort of getting to that.
Okay, sorry. Did I steal your thunder?
No, you didn't steal anything. It's just this general topic of the way you feel about yourself. And I'm sure you've discussed this with your therapist at length. And you've had some trauma. But the thing that I'm a little still hung up on is how you clam up. I'm talking about prior to this boyfriend. Mm-hmm. How you clam up with guys. How you don't show your personality. How you don't talk that much. Or you don't give them much.
I was getting like so much mixed feedback that it was very like overwhelming and confusing. I would either go out and be like pumped up for my day and like be talking a lot, and they would be like, you're too much, or I wouldn't be talking a lot and they'd be like, you're like not giving me anything here. And I just kind of never felt like I could.
I don't know what guys you're going. I don't understand this. This is confusing.
All of J Swipe.
All of Jason. This is just so strange. I know I keep
it's
coming back to this, but I don't get it.
It's something's wrong here. Well, it's somewhat strange, but to me, the glaring thing is that you have low self-esteem when it comes to relationships and low confidence. And that's what is alarming to me, is that when it's to circle back to what you said, and maybe this isn't 100% how you feel, but it does feel like you led with Hal, and what makes the relationship good is the fact that you finally have that feeling of safety and being loved. And what also disturbs me a bit about those past experiences where you felt like you would be, you know, more chatty versus more quiet, and then is you sort of trying to adapt to that feedback instead of, I guess, listening to your inner whatever that allows you to find the person who would want what you are. Does that make any sense?
It does. And I also think it has to do with partially the pool that I was going from. I was doing a lot of like app dating, whereas I had met Hal in person, but I have a couple really good close friends. But if I think of it, like the people who I invite to my wedding friend-wise are pretty much just the people who would be bridesmaids. I don't have like a big friend group or anything like that. So I feel like one thing I did wrong was like not invest enough in building up a circle where I'd meet people organically. And I don't feel like I will start developing social skills at 28.
Okay, so that's not true. I'm just going to say 100% that's not true, because, I can tell you're an introvert, and as a fellow introvert, I honestly don't feel like I found my stride socially until I was around 30. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the main difference between you and I is that I did date a lot, whether or not it was right for me, because I wanted to have that experience. And I think in doing that, I actually ended up building a lot of confidence and sort of learning what even my own character and personality and sense of humor was, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Again, what bothers me is that this relationship's biggest selling point, and I know he has all these wonderful traits that you love, but the fact that the feeling of what makes him special is how you feel loved is a problem, because that should be the default. It should be regardless, you know, and then from there, it should be all these like intricacies of why you feel like you could be wonderful life partners.
Exactly what you're talking about. I just can't get away from it. I feel like there's something holding you back from being yourself
with men.
Thank you. And that's a problem.
Probably maybe with women too. I don't know, but it's certainly with men, I feel like you don't trust them.
This is your first relationship. This is where you sort of learn how to do relationship. This is your training ground.
I feel like 10 years behind in that sense.
Okay, but you're still young.
Yeah, I think that's really we say this all the time on this podcast, I know, but really you have to remind yourself that you are really so young. And you know, you may feel behind in the relationship department, but you have this badass job in New York City and you're going to move back. And it's just, think about the things where there are many 28-year-olds, even 38-year-olds, who have no idea what they want to do with their lives and are toiling away in jobs that don't make them happy and are not careers that they are proud of. So what? You know, that is one sliver of the pie, is the relationship thing. What I want to come back to is the fact that you wrote into a podcast, and I understand that it would be tough to lose him, but I believe you wrote a little while ago and then you wrote a follow-up. This is something that continues to haunt you. Are there any more updates? Are there any more updates since your email?
So the big update is that like 2 weeks ago, I was thinking that about all these things and just being scared of basically trapping myself long-term in a commitment where like, I want to send my kids to Jewish school and give them a Jewish identity. What if he suddenly decides when he's 40 that he wants his kids to have a really strong Kurdish identity? Right now he says he doesn't have that or care about that. Like that could change. So, and my mom, for example, doesn't approve of him. She doesn't think he's the right person for me. It's kind of like gently pushing me to like end the relationship and move on and move back to New York, and how she wants to help
but
me.
On that note, if he were Jewish, would she approve of him? Is that the sole reason?
It would probably make a difference.
Okay.
She's like, it would be one thing if he had a PhD and wasn't Jewish, but he doesn't have a college degree and isn't Jewish. Like, that's two strikes for her.
I mean, and my mother would say something similar.
I think this is.
Not that there's anything wrong with marrying someone not Jewish, but it's
no.
Just,
I mean, for me, it wasn't about religion, but if I was dating someone who didn't have a college degree, my mother would say the same thing, and I don't think.
I think this comes down to, as you often bring up, is wants and needs. The question is, do you need him to be the things that he is not? Do you need his family to be the things that they are not? Do you need your mother to approve of your potential future life partner? Or do you want these things?
I can't say I need like my mother's approval, but I really want it. We've lost a lot. I don't want to create any more rifts in our family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want us to still stay whole. And I feel like there's so much that he gives me that I really want, but there might be things that he can't give me that I really need.
And for what it's worth, we actually do get a lot of questions around religion. And we've actually never really touched on it. I feel like I was always waiting for the right question. But there's no shame in bumping that up on the priority list or putting it into the need column. That's a lot of people do it, even if they're not super observant of their religion. I have many Jewish girlfriends in the city who I don't know if they do anything really Jewish, but they want to date someone who they can relate to and who had a similar upbringing mm-hmm. and who identifies as Jewish, and it makes it easier for their family unit and their future family. I think that that's a perfectly acceptable requirement. I think for you may need to do a little soul searching and figure out if you want to move that into the need column, and then from there, or before you do move it, if you move it, is really think about whether you need it or if you're doing it because you have your father's wishes in your mind and your mother's preferences in your mind. But I mean, there's no shame in you say if you want to raise your children Jewish.
There's no shame in any of it. And I have to say, I mean, you seem to get emotional talking about it. And I mean, it sounds like it means a lot to you.
I agree.
I grew up with like Judaism being kind of force fed to me. Like we had to go to temple every Saturday and walk there and not mm-hmm. drive. And I've kept kosher my whole life. I went to Jewish school, Jewish sleepaway camp. So I was kind of like, I don't want to be with someone Jewish. This has been force fed for me to my entire life. I have no appetite for it anymore. But now I think I've been out of that for a little while. I'm coming back around to it in my own terms. I hear what you're saying, and I do agree with you that it probably should be an A-list column or someone who like checks so many other boxes that it compensates for it. But because we have other things like with our families not mixing well, like I'm just worried about not setting myself up for long-term success. Meanwhile, though, he wants to like get engaged soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to be honest, the things that are causing you pause are all reasonable things.
Yeah.
You are marrying the family, even mm-hmm. if you see them once a year.
And I got to be honest, like I'm also Jewish, and I grew up with Jewish friends. So I'm probably not as Jewish as you. Not that this is a competition.
Nobody's
perfect. You got me out-Jewed by a little bit. But I married, obviously, a
is
non-Jew.
Is it so obvious?
Pretty
you
obvious.
Don't think I could pass as Jewish.
And I value the relationship I have with her family so much. It's so important. Like, it makes my life so much easier. It makes it so much more delightful that I actually like, oh, we're going to come. We're going to visit my family. I'm like, yes. As opposed to like, it's really a big thing. And I don't, to be honest with you, if it weren't for him really getting excited about the plants having new buds, I would be very negative about this. That he's really getting me with the plants situation. I'm a little biased. I know how it gets you, and that's good. You're a good person. But I'm feeling not great about the logistics of this with the
families. And the sheer number of things that you that give you pause.
Yeah.
If again, if it were just the fact that there's the different religions or just his family and maybe you don't need to see them all the time, it's just sort of building up. I also, we're kind of skimming over the fact that he has slightly controlling tendencies. I know that you haven't really seen that play out, but you know, you've been, your relationship has mostly been in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's too soon to tell what that, what your relationship looks like in the real world. It just is, unfortunately. All I'm saying is that I think if the, if I had a relationship that began December 2019 mm-hmm. and we've reached now, I think that that's great. You can learn a lot about each other in that time, but you still, like you said, a networking event. How would he carry himself? Or if you did hang out with male friends in a non-pandemic situation, how could he handle that? The fact that he, when you're living together and presumably in honestly the best time of your relationship, this should be the honeymoon phase. Maybe mm-hmm. you're a little past it now, but you have not been together for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
The level of just sort of being kind of suspicious and going through your phone is concerning to me this early on.
Mm-hmm.
There's just sort of many little, none of these are deal breakers unto themselves. I don't like the pile that they're creating.
Unless she needs them, which I think she may.
What?
The family situation.
Which, the family one or the Jew?
No, his family. The situation with his family. I think maybe a need for her.
Jamie, my heart hurts for you in this one. This is a really tough one. This is one of the most, I think, non-clear-cut calls we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah. I think that I would like to see, I know that you're worried about 30 being around the corner, so it's going to be hard for me to convince
you of
this.
Yeah, but that's not a reason to make a decision like this.
I'm not saying it is. I'm arguing against that, but yeah. I know she's convinced herself.
Yeah, but don't fall into that trap.
I just feel
30
like
30 means nothing. It's literally just a number.
I fully hear you there. It's not just turning 30. It's that I've just, like, women, for example, our fertility peaks at around 35, I think, and then it becomes harder to have a kid. I don't want to be with someone for and rush into starting a family.
These
just
are bad reason.
This is a bad reason.
It's a bad reason.
Oh, right.
You believe me, you'll be way, way, way more unhappy stuck with another human adult in your life forever that you don't want to be with than you will if you have a baby a little later than you'd like to have it.
Yeah. One thing that you always say, Andy, and was one of the reasons I wanted to call in and get both of your take, is that you shouldn't get married unless you're 100% sure. You've said that a bunch of times. And I just mm-hmm. feel like with all of our built-in differences, it's hard to be 100% sure. And with the divorce rate being so high, I feel like it or not, we're not really set up to be on the successful end of that.
Yeah. If I had to give advice, and I don't like to do this, but this is a very dangerous, this is treacherous waters to give advice, but just take this with a grain of salt. I think you should take some time apart.
I'm going to take a softer approach, but we kind of went off track when you were going to update us to like the present day, I feel like.
2 weeks ago, I wrote a letter to him and read it to him, just saying that I was like having these like doubts and concerns and I wanted him to know, and that I wasn't necessarily breaking up with him, but I wanted to give him the information that I was having these doubts in case he wanted to do something with that, because he's like, oh, we should get engaged, we should get married. And I just wanted to like say that I have a lot of concerns. I don't know if we're on the same page in terms of getting to the next step. And so I want to make sure that we're actively communicating these things. And then as I was saying that, he was just sitting next to me so patiently, like rubbing my back, looking at me, like waiting until I was done reading to like speak and respond, and was being so just like loving and gracious in his response. And in that, I would notice, it made me realize like how wonderful of a person I would be giving up because of things that he can't control.
So when you wrote the letter, was it like, we're not on the same page, I'm not sure if I'm ready to get married? Or was it like, this is moving too fast, I need to take a step back? Like, how was that expressed?
It was me a little bit wanting to take a step back and slow down the train a little bit without completely derailing it.
Is that mostly because of the talk of getting engaged? Or is that just in general?
It's in general. So our lease is up on June 15th. And I've been pushing off looking for apartments because he's also really not on board to moving to New York. And that's what I might have to do because of my job. And I
Wait a minute. When you say he's not on board, like he doesn't want to move to New York.
He's not keen on it.
Even though it's a huge opportunity for you.
Yeah, he started a job here that he really likes. But if we were to break up, he wouldn't stay here. He would go back and help out his family. So he's not keeping it either way in that sense, but he wants me to see if I can make it work, that my job will let me be remote for another year because my role doesn't require me to be in person. So he's pushing for me to lobby my company to let me stay in DC for another year.
But if he were not in this equation, you would love to move back to New York. Your family is here and it's a job.
I would already be back.
You know, this is one of those situations where a catalyst would be great.
Yeah.
How great would it be if he cheated on you and he didn't turn out to be what you thought he was? I'm not even joking. If he turned out to be kind of a dick or something.
Oh, it'd be a no-brainer.
It would be so much easier. So easy. You would be the catalyst you needed.
But it would also reinforce her insecurities, which would be negative.
I have a question. First of all, do you have any questions for us? So that's A. And then B, what were you expecting us to say?
My question is, would moving forward with this relationship be a mistake, even though it's good? And like, should I trust myself that I can, I don't want to say like do better for myself, but
you can say it,
find a better fit, that just someone who fits my life better. Okay. Or should I like,
it's a really tough one.
I'm going to answer that one because as a woman who have a mother who also would not have been cool with me dating someone who didn't have a college degree. And I did date someone and it made life very difficult. And this isn't even including the difference in religion, his family, the fact that I wanted to move somewhere for a career and he wasn't willing to follow or was not interested in following, all these other things. I don't think there's any shame in wanting someone in your socioeconomic class if that's important to you, genuinely. I'm not saying that should be like deal breaker level, but to me, again, it comes back to the pile. There's like a little mound of issues here that I don't think it would serve you to sweep under the rug. I think, I'm not saying end it. I'm a little softer than Andy on this.
I'd never said end it.
Okay.
I said re-explore, you know, explore it from a different vantage point, meaning separately for a moment.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, if I were you.
Move to New York.
Yeah. If I were you, I would make all my life decisions according to my own desires.
100% agree.
And so that's move to New York whenever you would want to move to New York. Do the job, make the friends, go out with whomever you want. You can continue to maintain that relationship. And I would be very interested to see if it's still as unclear as it is now after you do that for 6 to 12 months.
That's actually a really great point. Because you'll be doing what you want to do for you. And let's see how he reacts to that.
Mm-hmm.
If he reacts really negatively to it, it's not a good sign.
The worst thing you could possibly do right now is alter your own goals or dreams or choices based on this relationship, because the relationship itself is something you're already unsure about. So you should not let it dictate any major life choices. If you want to move to New York on June 16th, move to New York on June 16th. I'm serious.
You could make it easy for yourself too by actually saying that this is what I'm doing. And then you put the ball in his court.
Yeah, if he wants to move with you, he can. To be honest, I actually think Washington, D.C., it's not bad long distance. It's a doable train ride.
It's pretty easy. Four hours, 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I think you should sort of explore your options. And I don't mean like go on dates with other people, but explore your options in terms of living your life on your own. Your relationship with him has been entirely in a pandemic, living together. You never sort of did the courting phase.
Right.
I feel like, and you have no relationship experience.
And by the way, New York.
There's not enough data for her to know exactly if this is right or not.
New York is a great place to date.
Well, that's debatable. Some people think it's the best. Some people think it's the worst. I agree.
I think for you, for your, you know what we're talking about here. I know who you are. It's a good place to date.
I hear what you're saying, and this is kind of what I've been thinking deep down, but it's really helpful to have a conversation about it and make sure I'm not being ridiculous just in any regard.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Ask your doctor about Air Supra, albuterol budesonide. Eligible patients can pay as little as $0 per inhaler, subject to eligibility rules and maximum savings limits. Restrictions may apply. Visit airsuprasavings.com to learn more.
No, you're not being remotely ridiculous.
No.
If you told me that you would go out into the dating world, and I hate to say this, but this guy's probably the nicest guy in the world, and I don't want to malign your relationship at all, but if you told me that you were going to go into the dating world with full confidence that you're great and you're going to act that way, I would say move on. I just don't know if I trust you that you'd do that.
Do you think he's right to not trust you on that?
Yes and no. I want to defend myself a little bit here and push back and say that I've gotten a lot of confidence from this relationship. And so, like I said, like earlier, this was actually what my therapist said to me first. He's like, before you were saying you were like 25, 26, I've never had a boyfriend. Now you're someone who was living with someone for over a year and you really matured a lot in that last year and have at least a base of reference for what you like in a relationship. So it'll be easier for you to navigate dating because of, I've kind of had like this crash course in being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's what I wanted. I wanted you to get angry when I said that. It was a trigger. And that's what you should have said. You have experience. You're going to be okay. So if you choose, as you very astutely recommended, to move to New York or at least commit to moving to New York for this job, you'll know that when and if you have to go into the dating world, you will be fully equipped as opposed to before.
Remember that you two are on different tracks right now. I think this is important to remember when you're not yet married, and this is why we're so hell-bent on being 100% sure, because that's when you're officially hopping on the same train. Right now, you're on different trains on different tracks, and they're like going right alongside each other. They're completely parallel. When you go to New York, it'll be very interesting to observe what happens. Does he follow you? Does he resent you? Does he become controlling and jealous? These are all things that you just don't have enough information, I don't think, yet to either choose to make sacrifices for this relationship, nor do you have enough information to end the relationship. One thing is for sure, you certainly don't have enough information to get engaged. That is not happening. You cannot allow that to happen.
I agree.
Especially if he tries to do it when he finds out you're moving to New York and he wants to lock that down.
Yeah.
You can't. No.
No.
Yeah. Even I know that would be bad.
Okay.
Yeah. No shotgun engagements.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. Do not get engaged. You need to experience a different perspective.
Right.
And I think you need, there are certain things that you need that you're never going to get with this.
And those are things you have to come to terms with and recognize whether or not you do need them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't tell you whether or not you do. But one thing I can tell you is that when you marry someone and they're involved with their family and you seem family oriented yourself, that becomes something you have to sort of navigate instead of something that you fully embrace and love.
It's a lifetime wait. It's a lifetime wait.
Yeah.
And it's not great.
And especially like having lost my dad when I was in high school, I've always kind of fantasized about having this new complete set of parents, or, you know, where I'd have like a new mom and dad in a sense, where I'd really like my mom, like saw my dad's mom, like as a mom and vice versa. And I just was like, I'll have a, you know, not in like a daddy issues way, but like, I'll have a new like parent group in a way, hopefully one day. And then it's like, they don't even speak English. They can't really communicate with me. We have really different values. And it's like, this is it. And it's kind of disappointing.
That's very sweet. I relate. My father died and was very sick for a long time, and died when I was pretty young, but got sick when I was very young. And one thing that I'm so grateful for is the relationship I have with Charlene's father. And
it's very sweet, honestly. My dad never had a son.
Yeah.
And Andy no longer has a dad. And they, when we go home, they'll just be in a room together chatting about everything from sports to guitars. And it's just such a sweet bond that neither of them have had, or in your case for a long time, in my dad's case ever. I don't think that's something to dismiss as fluff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's not his fault that he can't give that to me, you know?
It doesn't matter, though. That's not something you should... I'm not saying you're holding it against him, but it's just something... You have to be... I've said this before. When you're looking for your life partner, you have to be selfish. And then you have a lifetime to compromise and make sacrifices. Yeah. You need to think about yourself. Whether or not he can control those things is not your problem.
Because remember, if you do compromise in the need column, okay, you're going to sacrifice the relationship in the future. So you're actually going to do him a disservice as well, because you're always going to be unhappy about that. And it's going to affect the relationship. So you're not doing anyone a favor.
And also, it's possible that not only could you meet someone who fits better in that way, but he too could meet someone who fits better with his family.
Exactly.
And I feel guilty about the idea of hurting him, because clearly from this, he hasn't done anything wrong to deserve it, but it just might not be the best.
This is your first relationship and you've never had a breakup. They're not easy.
No,
they're awful, but they're
no, I haven't had a fresh trauma in a while. This will be fun.
No, don't look at it that way. But and we're not recommending that you break up with him. I want to make that clear. I suggested potentially a little bit of distance for a while, but sometimes you just got to make very, very tough decisions in relationships, and someone always gets hurt. And this guy sounds like a lovely, lovely guy. I have nothing against this guy at all. On his own, with you, there might be structural problems that just will not do.
And again, you said... You brought up again something that he couldn't control. I don't want you to think too much in terms of what he can and cannot control. Because yes, the religion thing, the family thing, that's all well and good. But again, if you were to think selfishly, those things don't jive with what you would like and what you possibly need. And you can't stay with someone that then you start staying with someone out of sympathy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't matter whether or not he's the cause for those things or those things are in his control. You do need to think selfishly about what you need. Mm-hmm. What were you expecting us to say, Jamie?
In black and white terms, to break up. But I was just curious to hear your reasoning. I love your podcast. Have listened to like all of them. Always agree with your advice and feel like I don't have a lot of people to turn to for advice in this situation. So it really means a lot that you would take the time to hear what I'm saying and reinforce what I kind of know deep down. It's really helpful. So thank you so much.
So you do feel that what we're saying is reinforcing something you knew?
Yeah. Again, and the sympathy thing, actually, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I'm afraid of hurting him and disappointing him and don't want to.
It's the 10 commandments of reasons not
to stay with someone,
to not break up,
not to not break a good double negative. Yes.
Yeah. You don't feeling sorry for someone, man. It's not a reason.
or just generally being afraid of hurting them.
No, not a reason.
Being afraid of hurting someone is not a reason to stay with them.
You'll hurt them more in the long run by staying with them.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't want to be a dick, but it's just not your problem. This is your life.
Yeah.
You're looking for your happiness. And if you are, like, since you are concerned about the timeline and fertility and all, you know, all these things, even though you're absurdly young to be thinking about that stuff or worried about that stuff.
I like the way she's 28. She's 28, but she's like, I'm almost 30. Like, there's still 29, you know, in between 28 and 30, last time I checked.
I heard it's a fast year, so I'm bracing myself. Until,
if the fast year is 39 and also 49. Just watch out for those. Not 29.
29 is the best year.
The best.
It's the best.
The peak.
It's the perfect age.
Yeah.
Jamie, so if we were to like distill it down.
I got a perfect guy for Jamie.
John?
I hope the guy doesn't come home. He's going to kill me. John, it's perfect. He's literally like, I'm telling you, he's perfect. You come to New York, I got you married within 3 months.
To a Jew.
To a Jew. Orthodox, like sort of an ex-Orthodox Jew, like
raised
still
Orthodox.
Kosher. He's exactly the same as you. I don't know if they have two lexi, but he's pretty much the same exact thing. And he's a great guy. The nicest guy in the world.
Oh, Jamie, my heart hurts for you in this situation. I genuinely think it would be easier for you if something were more clearly terrible.
If he did something terrible, it would make things great.
Yeah.
But, he's,
but
I
maintain that it's a little, the pile shouldn't be ignored. There's many little things and they're scattered around, but if you were to assemble them, it becomes something resembling deal breaker territory, in my opinion. It doesn't have to be one big deal breaker. It could be several little partial deal breakers that together form a deal breaker.
Yeah. I would just go after this, make a two columns, want and need, and just list them out. And if that need column starts getting really top heavy, I think you know what to do.
And definitely make no decisions based on this relationship, right? Like major life decisions, like you moving for your career.
Yes.
Don't work remote. Like if you didn't want to move to New York, that's one thing. You do want to move to New York. Your family is here. You have all the reason in the world to move to New York. Move to New York. Don't make a decision like that based on a guy, much less one that you already have reservations about.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah. I hope that was helpful.
It really was. Thank you both so much.
I want to give you a hug.
I'd like to give you a hug too.
I know.
Yeah,
she needs a Shandy hug.
Yeah, we'll just give it. Yeah. Bring it in.
We're thinking of you, and please keep us posted on everything.
And this is still 2:35. Still 2:35. It's amazing. Time just goes so slowly.
Yeah. I think it goes without saying that we will be needing a follow-up on this.
Okay. You got it.
And I hope, it's not a requirement, but I hope that if we do get a follow-up from you, that it will be from New York. Okay, Jamie, best of luck, and we're thinking of you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Good luck.
Oh, man. My heart.
It's a tough one.
It's tough when you have all these doubts and there's not this one thing that you can cling on to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just all these things that you're like, I would like this to be that way. I would like this to be that way. All these things that are just not what you envisioned for yourself. And she's so reasonable and understanding of like how he's not at fault for anything, almost to a fault, that I feel like she's kind of ignoring what could be her own needs. And again, it comes back to the fact that she has no relationship experience. So she's not really even sure what those are.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I asked about the therapy, because she clearly has work to do on herself. But I think a lot of that work might have been done in this relationship. So it's like, for me, there's two big things at work here. One is there's a lot of needs that aren't being met, which I do believe are going to be logistically a nightmare. They're not going to work.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, all of them combined to me was like.
But on the other side, she also has learned what it's like to be in a relationship. She's probably gained some confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that she's talked about this in therapy, but she's gained the confidence to go out and actually start again for the first time.
Yeah.
And really blossom in New York, maybe, where it seems like she really wants to go and where this job seems to be taking her. Like, it all lines up, unfortunately, towards this at least taking a pause. And it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be really tough because the guy's not a jerk. I mean, he does give her a hard time about the DM stuff, that she could sort of hang her hat on that maybe a little bit, really like go with that one. But it's going to be tough. The guy loves plants, making new buds. How can you hate this guy? Come on. It's tremendous. Such a nice guy.
Yeah, I feel like this is where my robotic side sort of comes out with, you know, when you think about things like this. Yes, he seems like a nice guy. So what? That sounds like, I sound like a monster.
No, I understand. I know.
You know, yeah, sure. He loves her. He loves plants. He's a good partner. He's compassionate and empathetic. That's wonderful. Those are all great traits. But I also feel like a lot of those are sort of, you know, just the outline of what you should want.
I know.
And then you need to start coloring in those outlines with the colors that you really need. If I'm going to compare this to, this is my coloring book analogy, apparently. She's not being selfish enough, in my opinion. And the reason she hasn't ever been selfish with relationships, I gather, is because she has low self-esteem when it comes to men. She doesn't have the confidence to be selfish. It takes confidence to have that feeling of entitlement of what you need in a relationship.
And also the experience to know what you actually want in the relationship and what actually means something.
She's a better person than me. I have lost less sleep than I can tell she's going to over this.
No, it's not about, it reminds you of my first relationship.
Yeah.
Which was, to me at the time, amazing. Like, I told all my friends, I'm getting married to this girl. There's no question about it. In my mind, it was done. I was getting married, having kids, the whole thing. And, you know, I look back on that relationship and it's like, there were so many things missing. So many things wrong. So many things that I wasn't getting. There was all this stuff.
That you weren't yet sure that you even needed.
I didn't even know the language. I didn't know what I was looking for or what was right. I needed some sort of a reference point.
And let's be clear, those reference points you gather from your experience in dating, and they create a legend of sorts.
Yes.
And you use that legend to decide exactly what you are looking for.
Yes.
Based on what you're not looking for.
Exactly.
The intel you get from those past relationships is what you're not looking for. If this relationship doesn't work out, she knows that she's not looking for someone who isn't Jewish, not to make it a double negative, but it's true. There's nothing wrong with leading with that. And I've got to say, my first relationship, it's kind of similar. I 100% thought I was going to marry my college sweetheart. So I was in university and he was my first like major boyfriend. So not high school sweetheart, but major boyfriend. I 100% thought I was going to marry him. And then now, if I were to date him, I'd be like, mayday, mayday, there's all these things wrong. But I didn't have anything to compare it to. No. I was like, this seems like maybe not what I really wanted, but all these other things are great. And you sort of focus on those. You don't put things in the deal breaker column fast enough, I think, when you don't have the experience. You don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah. I always think that a bad relationship is the most valuable experience in the world, assuming there's no major trauma that happens as a result of the relationship, but is the most valuable experience you can get in life. There's nothing better than screwing up in a relationship or having a relationship that just goes sour and you recognize it and you leave.
Yeah.
Because you have all these points of reference.
And
as you
even
mentioned,
though it hurts, heartbreak hurts, hurting someone you love hurts and makes you feel terrible.
Love is terrible.
Yeah.
It's merciless. It's torture.
Yes.
And that's why they say all is fair in love and war, because it literally is. In a war, you can do horrific things and no one's going to judge you for it. Mm-hmm. The same thing in love. You have to be merciless.
Yeah.
And you're doing it for the other person too. They don't know
in
it
the
at
long
the time.
Run. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was broken up with one in, let's call it two times. I thank you is what I say to those people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever done to me.
Yeah, for not dragging it out if they were always going
to
do that.
And at the time, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So anyway, she's got a tough decision to make. I don't want to tell her. I don't think either of us wanted to tell her what to do.
Yeah.
Particularly because this guy seems like a nice guy. But I think she's going to do the right thing.
And honestly, I do think that when someone calls in, it's not necessarily looking for a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Validation.
Yeah, like break up, stay together. In this case, I really don't think there's enough information. I know based on being older than her and having more experience than her that the things she's concerned about are incredibly valid to be concerned about.
100%.
And right now, I think she's sort of like, oh, I had envisioned this. You're marrying into a family. Even if you don't see each other that often, that will surface.
Yes. Life is hard. Marriage should not be hard.
Your partnership should be, I believe, your little oasis. When people get sick and people get laid off and just life throws you curveballs that you did not expect, that should be the one thing you have. And it does sound like they're really compatible. But I just still wasn't getting 100% certainty even in him. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like even the things she said about him, like that those are sweet traits. They are. The greenery loving.
Oh man, he really got me with that.
But what really got me about her was that she led with, I've never been loved like this before. I feel so loved and appreciated. It's like, that is not, you're not describing him.
No.
You're describing you when you say that.
I mean, that is valuable. But
no, it's
she
valuable,
should
but
be loved that way by many people.
She's revealing more about herself than she is about him by saying
that. Yeah, of course. He's doing the right thing. He's treating her well.
And which should be the bare bones.
Right. He appreciates her for who she is. He treats her well. Mm-hmm. That's great. But now she has to find someone who does the same thing, but also meets all her other requirements.
I actually think that sometimes those early relationships, and for her, you know, hers might be a little later than some people's, but it's also, I got to say, way earlier than some people. Some people are 40 and have never had a boyfriend. It's not, you know, you sort of... I don't think she should gauge according to what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame in a relationship having run its course and serving a purpose. And in this case, that purpose is filling her cup up and giving her all this information about herself and what she's looking for. And again, just giving her confidence. The confidence is the biggest thing. And what's so interesting is when we started the call, I did not get that vibe from her at all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
neither did I. I thought she was uber confident.
Yeah, she oozed confidence. Yeah. I was struck at how beautiful she was.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting as we spoke to her more and more, just even how she said with men, she had tried to tone herself down or amp herself up and just kind of try and be what she felt they wanted her to be. Which is, I got to say, not the best way to attract a partner.
She should just be her.
Yeah.
Good package.
One of our first episodes, I said, be weird. Lean into whatever makes you weird.
Who cares if they don't like it, then move on to the next one.
Yeah. If 99% of people may not like it, but 1% will, and that's who you want to attract.
Yeah.
Oh.
She'll do the right thing.
She will do the right thing. She's super smart. She needs a little a boost.
Yeah.
I hope we gave that to her.
We gave her a very gentle Shandy kick in the butt.
Yeah.
It was like a little nudge. It's like a knee in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can keep Dear Shandy in business by liking, subscribing, hitting the notification bell, following us on Instagram, leaving us an iTunes review or a rating. We like many stars.
Many.
Many, many stars.
Seven.
Tell your friends and all the things you would do to support the content, your favorite word, you consume. And on that note, I think we can wrap.
We can.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this heavy episode of Dear Shandy.
A very special episode.
And we will see you next time. Bye.
Dear Shandy. Hey guys, this is Wells Adams.
And this is Brandi Cyrus.
We do a podcast called Your Favorite Thing Podcast. Basically, we talk about our favorite things. So like our favorite binge-worthy shows.
Books we're reading and of course, music we're listening to. Sometimes we have on some of my musical family members like Noah Cyrus.
Of course, we also talk Bachelor stuff because I'm the bartender in paradise.
You can find our podcast wherever you're listening to this podcast.
It'll be your new favorite thing. Oh, I got it in there.